Well, welcome, Tristram. I'm not going to give a long introduction. You said that you were going to speak for half the time you can be with us and answer questions for the other half of the time. I'm adjusting the time already, so don't get too excited. I hope what you're going to say is extremely uplifting, because most of us are still overcoming the psychological damage from beating in the Thatcher room. So, Shadow Secretary for Education, Tristram Hunt.
John, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Let me just lay out what we want to achieve as a Labour government in office on education policy. And it goes right back to the origins of the Labour movement and the belief in social justice and social mobility and the role of education in that, going back to the dissenting academies, going back to the Chartist schools, going back to the origins of the Labour movement. And we've got three areas of focus. And we begin in the early years, because we know that all the evidence of recent years, the academic research, the neurological research, shows that if you're going to battle disadvantage, if you're going to challenge inequality, you have to focus on the early years. And we did a huge amount in government on Sure Start, on children's centres, in trying to even out the injustices which we see young people face. And we're going to face difficult situation when we come into power in terms of the austerity that we will confront. But we also know that we have to have resources and focus there. So we're going to focus on rebuilding our Sure Start system. We're going to focus on the quality of interactions that young people receive. We're going to focus on the quality of personnel involved in early years provision. We have to move away from the warehousing of small children. We have to make sure that those involved in early years provision are themselves trained and supported and have the skills that they need. We need to see more graduates and teachers involved in early years provision. We also know one of the best ways to challenge poverty and disadvantage is to have two working parents in a family. And so under a Labour government, you have 25 hours free childcare a week for 3- and 4-year-olds of working parents. And that's absolutely vital on grounds of gender equality. It's absolutely vital to ensure that young mothers can return to work and you get two incomes coming into the household. We also think that young people should get the opportunities for enrichment, for development, for extracurricular activity. So we're going to institute wraparound childcare provision. Early years open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Primary schools open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. This doesn't mean teaching from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. but it does mean resources for the breakfast clubs and the after-school clubs. It does mean space for the enrichment and the co-curricular activity, which is enormously important. All of this requires work and effort by those involved in teaching. And so under a Labour government, we will introduce a school support staff negotiating body. So that means that the lunchtime supervisors, the janitors, the caretakers, the dinner ladies have a statutory negotiating body, which we were going to introduce in 09, 010, and it fell away, and under a Labour government it will come back. And so on a number of areas of policy, you know, what difference would a Labour government make for those teaching assistants, those lunchtime supervisors, a huge amount of staff involved in education provision, having an effective negotiating body for their terms and conditions is vital. Schools policy. The core of our schools policy is that the most important variable in outcomes is the quality of teaching in the classroom. We're going to move away from the relentless structural reform of recent years. We focus on a much less hierarchical vision of school structure, with sort of free schools at the top and then working down. Actually, we take a value-neutral approach to school structure, but we focus on the quality of teaching in the classroom. That begins with a qualified teacher in every classroom, or those working towards qualified teacher status. But it then means that we ensure that we have the architecture for a profession-led process of continual improvement and engagement. The thing that shocked me most on my recent trip to Singapore was that 75% of teachers in Singapore think they do not know enough about pedagogy or curriculum or subject knowledge. And in contrast, only 30% of English teachers feel the same. So we need to get to a learning profession. We need to get to a state where it is the norm to want to learn more and understand more and have the resources and space to be able to do so. Because great teachers are great students. And when you're qualified, well, that's just the beginning of the learning journey. And there's some difficult conversations there about space in the curriculum, about time away from teaching, about learning more and teaching less. But it seems to me the role of the state is to provide the architecture for that self-improving system that we need to get to. So a focus on professional development, a focus on career structures, a focus on strong leadership, which we've also lost sight of. But also a focus on schools working together. Today we've announced plans to ensure that the tax relief which private schools enjoy is conditional upon them partnering and working with local schools or a consortia of schools. But that's only one part of it. We want all school types and all school systems to work together. And so under a Labour government, we're going to have directors of school standards learning the lessons both of the London Challenge, where we know that collaboration, partnership and challenge did extraordinary amounts to raise standards, but also learning the lessons of Birmingham, that where you don't have local oversight and accountability, where you don't have a middle tier, you have a very dangerous situation often arising in terms of accountability and transparency. So what we want are local directors of school standards in charge of commissioning new school places, in charge of promoting collaboration and partnership between and amongst schools. And they will be appointed by local authorities. And then once again, because we're going to move to this sort of purchaser-provider split, local authorities will be able to open new schools. I was at the Archer Academy in North London in East Finchley on yesterday morning. That is it's a free school, but it's only a free school because there were no comprehensive, non-faith, non-selective schools in that part of North London, and the only way to get there was through a free school. Under a Labour government, local authorities will once again be allowed to open new schools alongside other providers. And again, that's the kind of reform that a Labour government will deliver. Thirdly, the passion of the leader of our party, vocational and technical professional education. This, as you all know better than me, has been the great problem with the English education system since the Butler Act. We know that we have 70,000 jobs, highly skilled jobs a year coming available, and we're only educating people to fill about 40,000 of them. We have a massive skills gap, we have a massive opportunity gap, and we're having a sort of curriculum process and assessment processes which is actually working against young people pursuing vocational, technical and professional routes. So under a Labour government, we rebuild the apprenticeship system. We have apprenticeships at level 3, lasting on average 2 years. We have further education colleges focused on local labour markets and those teaching in further education colleges involved in local industry and business. We also have English and maths taught to 18. This doesn't mean, under this government, simply redoing your GCSE over and over again. It means functional, core, applied, level 2 mathematics and English to give young people the skills that they need. But we also rebuild careers guidance. Because when we think both in terms of social justice for those young people, without the networks and support, decent careers guidance is essential. But also for young people who want to pursue technical and vocational pathways, it's a lot more difficult than, as it were, the GCSE A-level university glide path. You need advice and support in order to get there. And wherever you go, all the schools you visit and I visit, the death of careers guidance and the death of work experience is a real problem in our education system at the moment. I think if you put that together, the focus on the quality of teaching, the focus on schools working together in a collaborative network rather than sort of competitive atomistic system we have at the moment, the focus on battling disadvantage in the early years, the focus on vocational and technical education in the later years, that is a progressive, radical, interventionist programme for our education system. It is not year zero. It is not throwing everything up in the air again. Because I've listened to the profession, and the profession has had enough in many senses, of education secretaries coming in and saying, here's my lovely new scheme and I'm going to rewrite the curriculum over the long weekend. Actually, it's working with what we inherit and beginning to think about how we change it in the direction which reflects our values and also reflects the needs of Britain. And I'm very happy to discuss it, and I apologise for the short period of time I have. Thank you.